But if there's a major lesson, it's that God is God and that His ways will always prevail, despite what man tries. And as you'll see, Balaam tried his best to override God's will, and God is always the one who's going to get the glory in the end. So beginning in verse 1 of Numbers 24, it says, "And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him." It's a long chapter, but we'll look at it together as we walk through, but we'll stop there. And the title is "Of Mine Own Mind." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful that we have your word given to us by you, preserved for us. And Lord, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. I pray that we will learn tonight from your precious word things that would help us serve you. And Lord, may you be glorified. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So as you see, the previous times he sought God's will, sought God's face as what he should say. And he said this time he went not to seek. He said, "I'll just step out there and just speak." Trying to essentially bypass God's will. Remember, we saw he wanted the wages of unrighteousness that's given to us in the New Testament. He says, "I'm going to do it in my own strength. God's got this, so I don't have to ask him this time." And yet God teaches us we need to always want his will. Amen. That we are seeking for the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, most of you know. Jesus in the model prayer said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." David said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." And our prayer should be like Jesus's prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done." But Balaam thought, "This time maybe I can bypass it." But look what happened in verse 2. The Spirit of God came upon him. So that doesn't mean he was saved. I don't think he was. But the Spirit of God came upon him and overrode the situation. And what we have in chapter 24, despite Balaam wanting to give a prophecy of cursing against Israel, we have some of the most beautiful prophecies of Jesus Christ given by the Holy Spirit through this prophet for hire. God always gets the glory in the end. And we're going to look at some of these beautiful prophecies together. And it's just amazing the things that God revealed through Balaam of all people. But again, God always gets the glory in the end. So let's look at it. Starting in verse 3, "He took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted." So there's one of the first beautiful prophecies, is that God's kingdom will one day be exalted. And this is a very early prophecy about the kingdom that Israel will one day get. The promise wasn't given to David until centuries later in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God made the Davidic covenant promise that a descendant of David, would always rule over Israel and they would have a kingdom. And here we have a prophecy given way before David that there will be a kingdom, and that in this kingdom, it will be the highest. It'll be exalted. And this, of course, is referring to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some verses, Isaiah 11. We could look at many, but we'll just look at a sample tonight of this kingdom that God has promised to his people Israel. And this is the first of the beautiful prophecies that God revealed through Balaam, this prophet for hire. So verse 1 of Isaiah 11, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity of the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that's just one sample of these beautiful prophecies about the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, which of course culminates in Revelation chapter 20, where we're told it's for 1,000 years and that we get to rule and reign with Jesus. So already a beautiful prophecy about Christ and his kingdom. It goes on to say in our passage, verse 8, it says, he shall eat up the nations, his enemies. When Christ returns, it won't be as a babe in a manger, will it? It'll be as the conquering Lord. And we see that in Revelation 19, if you want to turn there quickly. In verse 11, when Jesus returns, he returns to, as it says, eat up the nations of his enemies. He will destroy his enemies with the sword of his mouth. Notice 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is the second return of Jesus Christ, or the second appearing of Jesus Christ on the earth. And he judges and makes war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He will come back and conquer. Amen. And his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth, verse 15, goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations. So not only did Balaam prophesy of the kingdom, but he also prophesied of Jesus Christ defeating his enemies when he does return. And then back to our passage, verse 9 of Numbers 24. We have a reaffirmation of God's original promise to Israel from Genesis chapter 3, which he made to Abraham. Look what he says. He couched, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion, who shall stir him up. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. A reaffirmation of, let's look at it, Genesis 12. This is the original promise, covenant that God made with Israel through and to Abraham, that God is in control and that they're God's people, and that those who bless Israel, God blesses. Those who curse Israel, God curses. And we can see this in many different ways in the history of man since this time. But verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is one of the most repeated promises in the Bible. It's repeated multiple times in the Old Testament. It's repeated multiple times in the New Testament that they're God's people. And, you know, you and I, today, what do we see but the whole world hates Israel? What should we do? We should stand with Israel. We should pray for Israel. Because Genesis 12:3 still stands. Amen? And so we should bless them. We should pray for them. We should pray for their safety. Because one day it's their kingdom. Yeah, we get to be there, but it's still their kingdom. It's Israel's kingdom. And so this reaffirmation of God's original promise to Abraham. So back to our passage, Balak gave these beautiful prophecies about Jesus, the kingdom, and this reaffirmation that Israel would always exist, which, remember last week, what hath God wrought? Verse chapter 23, what was he talking about? Israel. The survival of Israel is one of the greatest proofs of the Bible. And someone reminded me last week, I forgot to say it, but those were the first words spoken on the first telegraph. Just a bit of trivia. Alexander Graham Bell invented the telegraph, and the first line that went up, the first words that were given across the first telegraph was, "What hath God wrought?" Very interesting. Anyway, so Balak's anger, verse 10, was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together. This is a king of the Moabites. So he's got a lot of power. But he's so angry, he smote his hands together. "I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Now therefore flee to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor." And Balaam said unto Balak, "Spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sendest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak." Balaam has reached the point now where he realizes, no matter how hard I try, I can't curse God's people. They are blessed. We saw that in chapter 22. He says, "I tried of mine own mind. God overcame me with his spirit." And so now Balaam's come to that point. He realizes, I can't do it. I've tried. God will not let me curse his people. And so even though I tried this last time, this third time, from mine own mind, it didn't work out. And we got to be careful with this, don't we? David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We're told in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready to give an answer to every man, but to make sure that that answer comes from God. And so Balaam now realizes that he cannot curse God's people. And so rather than back down, he stops and he says, "Well, I'm not quite done, Balak." I love it. Verse 14. He says, "Okay, I go unto my people. But come now, and I'll advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days." I'm going to tell you what Israel's going to do to Moab. And he took up his parable and he said, "Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said," verse 16, "he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open," verse 17, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob." You remember back when we looked at the names of Jesus Christ? This was one of them, wasn't it? It came from Balaam, of all people. The star, Jesus Christ, likened to a star. We see in 2 Peter 1 where he's called the day star. And we also see here that it's not just any star, but a star out of Jacob. So he had to be a descendant of Israel. He had to be a Jew to be the Messiah. In Revelation 22, he's called the bright and morning star. So here we have this beautiful name of Jesus given by Balaam, of all people. But he doesn't stop there. Then he refers to him as a scepter. Here in verse 17, "A scepter shall rise out of Israel, which of course the scepter is representative of ruling, that Jesus Christ would be a king. Amen? And we see that in Genesis 49:10, if you want to turn there quickly. This was the prophecies that were given to Jacob before he died, when he called all of his sons together, remember, and gave prophecies about each of his 12 sons, each of the 12 tribes, and in when he prophesied about Judah, Genesis 49:10, he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." So this scepter is talking about a descendant of Judah who would one day rule and reign, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hebrews 1:8, "But unto thy son, he saith, thy throne, O God, shall be forever and ever." And then Isaiah 9:7, if you want to turn there quickly. Most of us know 9:6, but 9:7 talks about his kingdom. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom." This is talking about none other than the son from verse 6, the child that will be born, whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. And here we have this earlier prophecy about Jesus being the scepter, Jesus being the star, Jesus being the king, and Jesus being the conqueror. And then he reaffirms this dominion in verse 19, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, which we just read about here in Isaiah 9:7. But Balaam's not done. Now he's going to give some prophecies about some of the countries that were at that time. And so when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And none of us has ever met an Amalekite, have we? Then he goes on to say, and he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and says, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted. When none of us has ever met a Kenite. And he took up a parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the east, or from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also perish forever. None of us have ever met an Ebernite. And then Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. But not before giving Balak some really bad advice. And that's chapter 25, verse 1, which we'll look at again next week. But look at it quickly. Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. He said, I can't curse them. Every time I try, I bless them. I'll let God speak through me, and he did. And he gave these beautiful prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his conquering and his dominion and so forth. But before he left, and we only know this because of other scriptures, he pulled Balak aside and said, well, I can't curse them, but let me tell you how to beat them. Temporarily, of course. And that is, go join with them. Stop trying to curse them. Don't try to fight them. Mingle with them. How do we know this? Well, let's look at Numbers 31:16. Just a few chapters over, just seven chapters later. And this is when God had to send a plague on Israel for what? Intermingling with Moab. Or we're going to read about Phinehas and his zeal. But why did they intermingle with Moab? Moab was their enemy. Numbers 31:16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel, look at this next phrase, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Through the counsel of Balaam. But that's not all. Revelation chapter 2. Turn over there quickly. When God is rebuking the various churches here in Revelations 2 and 3. In verse 14, he's rebuking Pergamos, the third of the seven churches. And look what he says, Revelation 2:14. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And now we know what that doctrine is, don't we? If you can't beat them, join them. And the Satan has tried this against Israel many times over the years, as we'll see. Especially the book of Judges. What a sad book. That what you do, you can't defeat Israel as a nation completely, because they're God's chosen people and they're blessed. So what you do instead is you mingle with them, which causes them to sin against God's commandments, not to mingle with the Gentiles, and then God has to punish them. And it works. That's the doctrine of Balaam. And he said that the church Pergamos had people that were promoting that doctrine. But we'll talk more about that next week. This week, we see that no matter how hard Balaam tried, even though he tried to speak of his own mind, God always wins in the end. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? God, always. He's God. So, he certainly showed that in this situation, didn't he? He overrode the whole thing. Balak's attempt to curse Israel 3 times he overrode. And then was used first a donkey to teach lessons, and then this prophet for hire to give us beautiful prophecies about Jesus. God always wins. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and how you always shine through, that you are God, that you are in control. And Lord, that no matter what we try, we must seek your will, Lord, through our lives, that we would not try in our own mind, in our own strength, in our own will, but that we would always seek your will, your ways in our lives. Lord, that we might walk in your will, that you might bless us. So may we be ever on the lookout for the devil trying to trick us into doing our own will, the devil trying to trick us into speaking from our own mind. And Lord, trust you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We are so blessed to be your children, and we love you in Jesus' name.